Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We'd love for you to be a part of today's broadcast, so if you're hearing the broadcast live during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. And that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and of course, guys, the sad story continues across the Houston area and all of South Texas as the rain continues to come down, the floodwaters continue to rise, and people's lives are in jeopardy, continue to be in jeopardy.
Yes, indeed. Our own Vivian Foster, her son Cliff, is down in that area, evacuated, and we understand he is safe and secure. Don't know about his apartment and all of his belongings. Yeah. That's yet to be seen. So we know that there are so many people down in that area that are just feeling that devastation, and they don't know what life's going to look like tomorrow.
Right.
I'm grateful for the number of people who are stepping up and saying, hey, I want to help. I want to be a resource. I want to give. I want to do whatever I can to help rebuild. And I would certainly say to our listeners, if that's something that's in your heart to do, don't just sit on that. Actually, live that out. Just make yourself available. Do whatever you can to help meet these needs that are occurring and growing so ever rapidly down in the Houston area. Now, speaking of Houston, there are so many people that are going to be looking at that as somehow God's judgment on America, God's judgment on Texas, God's judgment on certain people. And yesterday I introduced an idea called contract theology. I haven't ever seen that anywhere, but it's something that hit my mind over the weekend. And those people that, look at this type of situation, are approaching God as if through a contract. They're trying to negotiate things. If we're good and moral, then God, you're going to be good and kind back to us. So everything's negotiated. Everything's based on contract. And that's not the way of God. That's not the gospel. That's not the grace of God. We saw something online yesterday. Bob, you're going to read it for us. That is a prime example of this, quote, contract theology.
Yes, Sunday on CBS's 60 Minutes, Steve Croft interviewed New York billionaire Michael Bloomberg. Now, I understand that this particular segment had run earlier in the year, perhaps, but this was the first time that I'd seen it. It was a repeat, but I thought it was very interesting. In a moment of introspection, Bloomberg said, and I quote, "I like what I see when I look in the mirror. If I get sentimental, I look and say, oh, it's a bad day. They beat up on me. This, that, and the other thing. But you know, we've spent $1 billion trying to convince people to not smoke. It's been phenomenally successful. We've probably saved millions of lives. There are not many people who have done that. So, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm not sure I'm going to stand for an interview. I'm going right in." End quote. So the question is, does saving people by not smoking stamp his ticket to heaven?
That's exactly right. And so according to his way of thinking, the answer to that question is yes. I've done enough good works. I've done one particular good work that outshines just about everybody else on the planet. So therefore, I don't even have to stop and let my works be judged. I'm just going to go straight in. I've already earned God's favor. I've already earned God's blessing. I've already earned my way into the heavenly places.
Yeah, I've got a VIP pass.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's contract theology. That is saying, I'm going to do something good for you, God. In return, this is what you owe me. And so for Michael Bloomberg, it was, I'm helping alleviate the world of smoking. And that is such a wonderful work. That's going to guarantee me entry into heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And that's, if this was possible, then God's grace would not be needed. And we need God's grace. There's only one way for us to have a relationship with God, and that's by grace. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. Well, here's how Paul put it in Titus chapter 3. He said, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness." So we have to understand that very clearly. It is not because of works done by us in righteousness. None of our works will merit anything that is of value as far as God is concerned. And then he goes on to say, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace. There's only one way to stand right in the sight of God, and that is to be justified freely by his grace. And so when we're justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yeah. So Paul was very clear. There is no possible way to negotiate with God on your behalf. There's nothing that you can bring to the table that's of value enough to warrant him saying, yes, I will exchange eternal life. I will give you eternal life in exchange for that good work that you've done. His salvation, our salvation, is based on the finished work of Jesus and the grace that God delivered to us in him.
Yeah.
There is no other way that we can be saved. And that's true not only for salvation, it is true throughout the Christian life. It is grace in the beginning, grace in the middle, grace in the end. If we want to do anything that's of value to God, grace has to be the source of it. If we want to have comfort and peace and assurance at the end of our lives, grace has to be the very thing that gives us that comfort, peace, and assurance. It is, as I said, it is grace at the beginning, grace at the middle, grace at the end, all the way through. This is a by grace, through faith in Jesus life, period. We need to recognize that. We need to understand it. And the only reason somebody would not understand it is because they think they're righteous in and of themselves. And if they think they're righteous in and of themselves, then there is no need for grace.
Right.
Grace is only sweet to us once we recognize our depraved condition, the fact that we were dead spiritually, and there's no way out of that apart from God doing something on our behalf, and he's done that in Jesus.
Absolutely.
That's the good news of the gospel. That's why grace will stand as that eternal monument. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, it says that he is going to show forth in the ages to come the riches of his grace toward us in Christ Jesus. What is going to stand is the thing that all of creation looks at, God's grace given to us in Jesus.
Yep.
That's good news.
That's
right there.
That's good news. That's basic gospel stuff, friends. What did you call it? Contract theology? Is that what you called it?
Contract theology.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not
buying
truth.
Yeah,
that's
buying,
right.
Buying your way into heaven by good works and deeds. And wow. If you have a question on this or something else, we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Give us a call, friends, if you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time Hour, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Richard, with only a couple or 3 days remaining in August, it becomes urgent for everyone who has not taken advantage of the opportunity to make a donation and receive a copy of this great new teaching DVD that the two of you put together called Your Living Hope. Bob, what do you see as the urgency for friends to take advantage of this?
One, we need hope.
Yeah.
I mean, we need hope in this world. We look at the disasters that are going on and people are losing hope, but we need hope. We need hope in this world today. Hope is to us, our souls, as oxygen is to our lungs. I mean, we've got to have hope to be able to make it through day-to-day life. Why? Because this world is a difficult place to live in. We're going to experience trials and tribulations of every kind. We're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We're going to make ourselves vulnerable to the temptations of this world. But our living hope is that anchor that can keep us firmly rooted in the grace of God. And that living hope is Jesus Christ himself. We've been born again into that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So he's alive, living in us. And so whatever life is throwing at us, we have Jesus living in us to walk us through it. So that's what this particular series is all about. And I guarantee you, you're facing some trials and tribulations in your life right now. You may be feeling a little overwhelmed. You may feel like there's not a light at the end of the tunnel. This particular resource can help you see the light that's there. Yes. In the person and work of Jesus Christ.
And, of course, this series, Your Living Hope, is coupled with the need for support of the ministry going forward. We hope that you'll take advantage of that opportunity to visit basicgospel.net, click that donate link, and make a generous contribution as we approach the end of the month of August. You can also donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our good friend Clay, listening down in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay.
How y'all doing?
We're doing okay. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I've been talking to several people, and they try to draw me into this conversation, just like what you're talking about, the hope of what the Corps of Engineers needs to do, how we don't need to have so many people living on the coast, and all these things that man could do to stop these disasters. And I said, you know, this guy was a believer. I said, you know, a believer, a new creation in Christ Jesus, can have peace in the midst of the storm. They have that hope, okay? But when man, it's like we were talking about Bromberg, wants to throw money at this thing and thinks they're going to slow this destruction and the groaning and travailing of creation up until this time, until the manifestations of the sons of God are revealed, well, it's just like a woman that's in birth, okay? The travail doesn't get better as time goes on. So, Bob, I really don't expect this thing to get better with natural disasters, because there was no hurricanes in the Garden of Eden, and I don't believe there's going to be any in the new heaven and new earth. And until then, when this kind of stuff comes up, it's just like you said, we need to step forward as believers and not talk about construction projects, but talk about the grace of God and that hope that comes along with it and the salvation in Him, and not try to mollycoddle this thing, because I don't believe it's going to get better unless, do you?
Well, Clay, I mean, there's natural disasters that occur everywhere. I mean, we can't just say, hey, if people didn't live on the coast, then they would be safe. Well, what about tornadoes here in North Texas and through Oklahoma and Kansas and that strip of land? What about earthquakes out in California? What about tsunamis that occur all over the world? There's all kinds of natural disasters, and you know, no one's safe from you know, never having to go through one of those. Wherever you are, you're at risk.
There's
for something like that.
But
we can't live our lives in fear. And I think that's what the message of Christ enables us to do, to rise above the fears that we have within our hearts, and to live with confidence, with faith, and assurance. As Paul wrote in Philippians, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For those of us who know the Lord, that's our philosophy in life, or at least it's where the Spirit of God is moving each and every one of us, to really adopt that. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that gives us the confidence. And, you know, if we come through a natural disaster, and there's going to be a lot of people who, you know, once the waters recede, they're going to be asking the question, what do we do now?
Right.
Well, we can tap into the wisdom of God. We can tap into the provision of God and see how He works this out together for our good. So we can trust the love of God, the plan of God, the provision of God, the wisdom of God, and all of this will be for His glory. And that's the way we live our lives. Yeah. So I don't think we have to be frightened of these particular things. They are scary for certain.
Yeah.
But our faith in Jesus can help us rise above those natural human fears that we all have when these things sort of come. And I like how you referenced Romans chapter 8 in your discussion there. I think this really is just part of nature groaning for that time when all of creation is going to be set free, and that's going to be at the second coming of Christ. There's going to be this new creation. We're a part of that new creation already, and we have a chance to show forth what that's all about in this world today. So, Clay, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Friends, I want to remind you that we are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube, our channels on each of those entities every day. We hope you'll take advantage of it. We love to have new venues that we can disseminate the gospel through, and these are wonderful ways to do that.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Livermore, California, and talk to our friend William. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to make an observation about the comments that you were quoting Bloomberg making. Part of his claim was that he had saved millions of people by getting them to quit smoking. And I don't believe quitting smoking saves anyone. Every one of them are still going to die. The only thing that saves us is Christ Jesus.
That's right. Salvation, yes. Eternal life comes through Christ and through Christ alone, and that's what that passage in Titus was all about. That it's the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, and in that we are justified by the grace of God. So new life is what we needed. We were dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sin. New life is what we needed. New life is what we receive when we receive Jesus. He makes us alive together with Christ. He sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. And the moment that happens is the moment that we start experiencing and living out this eternal life. So eternal life is not something that happens to us in the future when we die and go to be with the Lord. Eternal life is right now when we receive the eternal one named Jesus Christ himself. So, yeah, saving, you know, doing some good works, that isn't going to change your status from dead spiritually to alive spiritually. Only the grace of God can do that.
All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks, William. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, good to hear from you, William. You know, friends, I don't think that there's any more consistent place to hear about the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ than right here on Basic Gospel. You know, we're here every day, every weekday, to bring that good news to you, both on radio and online. But to keep the good news coming, of course, we need your consistent partnership. So remember that with your donation over the next couple of days, before the end of the month, of course, we have that new and very exciting DVD series called Your Living Hope, with your gift to Basic Gospel. So click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. You can use that anytime, day or night, and we'll send you a copy of Your Living Hope. That's 844-322-2742 or online at basicgospel.net. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we had a call that came in overnight. Let's listen to that call right now.
Hi, Bob. My name's Kadir. I'm just listening to your program. I heard that question by Mary Jo about homosexuals and if she needs a new Bible she bought in a warehouse. Could you please correct me if I'm wrong? You know, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are we saved through faith, yet not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I thought salvation, or I know salvation is a gift of God. So if someone is saved by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring them to heaven, does that then mean that if they were to slip back into sin and slip back into homosexuality, for argument's sake, that they would lose their salvation? My reading of the Bible and close study says no, that's not the case. Because if that were the case, it would mean that you'd have to do works. You'd have to ensure not to sin again, or else you'd fall from heaven. And I know that's not what God meant and said. So could you please clarify this, please? I'm saying that based on my reading, once saved, always saved. It doesn't matter if you slip back in sin, but if you are truly saved initially, you are always saved. I mean, you should live for the Lord after. Could you please clarify that? Thanks and have a good day.
Well, that is an excellent question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, very important for us to really address. And salvation, We have to, I think, start right there. What is salvation? Well, we know the good news story is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What happens when that good news story hits a human heart? Well, it moves that heart from death to life. It moves that person from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's what salvation is. So this good news brings about salvation. Salvation is life, Christ's life coming to live inside of us. And that's exactly what Ephesians 2 indicates. So when it says that we have been saved by grace, that has been clarified as to what exactly that means. In verses 4 and 5 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says this: "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So what does grace do? Grace makes us alive together with Christ. That's what salvation is all about. And so we receive Christ life. Now, why that means eternal salvation and eternal security is because his life is indestructible. His life can never be destroyed. So the only way that we could lose our salvation is if Christ would lose his life. Well, he is not going to lose his life. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews talked about in Hebrews chapter 7, that he has the power of an indestructible life. So our guarantee of eternal salvation is tied to the indestructible life of Jesus. Because his life cannot be destroyed, neither can ours. Why? Because the life that we now have is his life. As Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So Christ lives in me. If you're a believer, Christ lives in you. His life is indestructible. He has promised he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He dealt with the sin issue once and for all, took it away, and you have been changed, transformed, raised up to walk in the newness of life, so much so that God calls you a new creation. So you may do some sins, some deeds of darkness, but you will never fall back into sin or unbelief. Once you've put your faith in Jesus, that heart has been made in such a way that you'll always want to trust Jesus. There will never be a time in your life, once you're really a born-again believer, that you doubt that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You'll not fall back into unbelief. You may do deeds of darkness, but your heart has been equipped and so transformed that your heart always wants to trust the Lord. That's the new heart that you have. That's part of this new creation. So Jesus has an indestructible life. His life is now living in you. Your life is his life. Yeah. So your salvation is secure. You can count on that. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, many people are going to say, "Oh, you've got to live it. You've got to do this. You've got to do that." Trust Jesus. He's alive, living in you. I guarantee you he's going to make his life manifest through you. Yes. That's the good news of the gospel.
That is the good news of the gospel. And friends, I want to remind you very quickly that every Friday we're discussing hard to understand passages of Scripture. And if you have a particularly troubling passage, why, we'd love to hear about it. Call us at 844-322-2742. Let me do that again. 844-322-2742. Or send your hard passage question to bob@basicgospel.net. And by the way, you can also post that question on the Basic Gospel Facebook channel. We hope you'll take advantage of that and listen on Fridays. Brent, we want to remind you that there are only a couple of days remaining for you to take advantage of the opportunity to get a copy of our new DVD teaching series, Your Living Hope, and to make your gift to Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. That number, of course, available 24 hours daily. And we'll send you a copy of this empowering DVD series, Your Living Hope, as you make your gift to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or as I said, call 844-322-2742, and we're going to send you a copy of Your Living Hope. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.